Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It is Wendy Manganiero, and I am here for another session of Love, Light, and Passion. Sorry. Love, Light, and Happiness is an acronym for something else that the show was based on. So it's Love, Light, and Passion. We're here for another week, and I'm really excited to have our newest guest, Rita Goodrow. And Rita and I met, I was trying to remember this, I believe we met on Sabrina Watson's show, correct?
We did, yes. Yes,
we did, right. Good. Okay, I got this right. Because Sabrina was on the show last week, and you can listen back to our talk last week. And I've been very fortunate. I've networked with a lot of people based on meeting them through Sabrina and her virtual live network that she does. So it's really good to have you here, Rita. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. I'm going to give a little bit of background on you because this is so, and we had talked about this briefly, this is kind of exciting that you were an attorney. And
I was.
You were an attorney, and you are. It's not like you're not. Right.
Still, right. I still am. I technically could still do all the stuff for it.
So, but you were a practicing attorney for over 10 years, and then you made what I would call a drastic switch that people would not probably suspect, and became a dating and relationship coach, which I think is fascinating. Because I don't think most people think that attorneys will do that. And then because you grew your dating and relationship coach business so fast, you started to get asked all over to come and speak, but they were asking you to speak on how you grew your business so fast, not even on the dating and coaching. So you had, like, quite the transgression of career choices, which is really exciting because it goes completely against the idea that you have to pick one career and stick with it for life.
Oh, true, right? Like, I think there was an article, I can't even remember, it's so long ago, but there was an article about most people reinvent themselves, I think it's 7 times, like, over the course of their life. So I'm a big believer in that.
I think that's awesome, and I think that learning how to follow your passion and wherever it may lead. And it's so funny because we had this conversation because I'm finishing my master's, and within the next year or two, I'm planning to go to law school. So we're doing a reverse.
Yeah, you can take it. You can take it.
we're doing a reverse, so this is kind of exciting for me. But now you have this incredible, and I just want to say I am very impressed. The social media side of me is really, really impressed with this woman's garden group that you've grown, and I see it continues to keep growing because I'm part of it. And I just think that's phenomenal how, and I'm sure as a result you've continued to connect with people and grow. And so let's start, like, somewhat at the beginning though. How did that happen? How did you go from, all right, I'm an attorney. I went to school all these years to be an attorney because it's not like a 6-month course.
No, trust me. It was a long time coming. Yep.
Right. Exactly. It's a lot of time invested in doing that. I think I'll become a dating and relationship coach. Let's start there because
it's a little more logical once you get all the missing pieces. So in 2006, I started a meetup group called Singles in the Suburbs for singles living in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. I was kind of newly single. I was ready to get out there and meet people, but all of my friends at the time were in long-term relationships or married, so they just weren't going out. You know, they had different priorities, different things going on. So I started this group as a way to meet other single people, and I thought, well, I'll meet a friend or two, and then that group will shut down, and that'll be great. But now we're almost, I think October 1st is our 10-year anniversary, and that group has over 5,000 members. So that group went nowhere, right? I mean, it went everywhere. It did not shut down. It went in the exact opposite direction than I thought. So I was running that group. So I kind of had my toe dipped in to the singles community that way because of my group, which did grow very quickly. And so the Washington Post and all of these local publications started coming up and asking me questions every time they had a dating or relationship column, right, because I had access to all of these singles. So I started getting quoted as an expert on dating and relationships, which is really funny because about a day after I started this group, I met a guy through the group. I mean, it wasn't a day, but it was like a month after I started the group. I met a guy, and we dated and ran the group together for about 5 years. So I had a relationship. I was running that group with
That's
a guy
what,
who was still running
I knew
the group.
This, and I was going to bring that up. I'm like, this really did work. So everybody might want to join the group. Really, it was very, very fast. That's what I was laughing about. I'm like, yeah, she wasn't even.
And although that relationship didn't last, and I'll get into that in a minute, that relationship didn't ultimately last. But I have had members through the group get married to people that they've met through the group. I've had members date, even if they haven't gotten married. But more importantly, it really is about making, I mean, not to plug the group, I mean, that's not really why I'm here, but to make friends to meet other single people.
Though.
Yeah, and so it became a community of people. So, like, all of my bridesmaids in my wedding, they were all girls that I've met through singles in the suburbs. So I was running that group. I was getting media. I was getting, you know, attention in the singles world, and I was still doing my attorney thing. But then that 5-year relationship I mentioned came to like a drastic end. Like, it was a terrible, I mean, it was not, I'm laughing now. I was definitely not laughing that night at all, not even close. But I say it's one of those things where it was like, suddenly, not so suddenly, because all the signs were there. You know, I mean, hindsight's everything, right? It was going to end, but I just didn't know that night that it was going to end. And so 5-year relationship kind of out of the blue came crashing down, and I was upset, but I decided, you know what, I was about to turn 35, and I said, I'm about to turn 35, and I've noticed something. Some wine had a lot to do with this conversation I had with my friend, but I said, you know, I've noticed that I've had 5 long-term relationships in my life at that point, and they had 2 things in common, each of those relationships. One was that they all ended. And the second thing in common was me, and that was it. I was a common denominator between all of these relationships that had ended. And so I decided, you know, I want to figure out what I'm doing. Like, I don't want this to happen anymore. I want to figure out what I'm doing to cause this to this pattern to kind of repeat over and over. And so I decided to go on 35 dates in 35 days in honor of my 35th birthday. So I put like this big feeler out and said, look, I don't want to filter the guys. I don't care about your age or your race or what you do for a living. I just want to meet people, and I want to meet people I would normally not meet. And then I had the guys pick the activities. I wanted to do things I would normally not do. So I had to be way outside of my comfort zone and deal with how I reacted being in uncomfortable situations. And so I did that and had a blog about that, which is still out there on the internet somewhere. In fact, it's the fifth anniversary of that blog. And so so I did that, and that's how I started meeting coaches. And then one coach that I met said, wait a minute, what are you doing? Like, do you realize you're already coaching people? People are listening to you. You run this group. You've got this blog. They're saying, Rita, I took your lesson and I applied it in my life. Like, you are a coach. And I was like, that's crazy. I'm an attorney, right? Like, I'm an attorney. I'm not a coach. And after I talked to some people who said, Rita, you really need to do this. You really need to be a coach. And I kept pushing it away because that just was not, like you said, that's not what an attorney does. I needed to stay an attorney. I had been to school a long time. Well, the universe kind of had other plans and conspired to make a contract that I was on as an attorney end. And so I had a choice. I could either try to hunt for another law job, or I could see if I can make a go of the dating and relationship coaching, and I decided to attempt making a go, and kind of really knocked it out of the park. And so I haven't looked back, but that's how I became a dating and relationship coach. So there was a little bit of a progression. It wasn't just like one day I woke up and said, I'm just going to tell everybody how to date. You know, I think that sounds fun, right?
That's awesome, though, that others, and isn't that the truth, though, that sometimes others have to notice something before you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, everything in my life, people have noticed it before I have. So, you know, I mean, somebody's always watching, right? That's the thing. Someone's always watching and recognizing strengths in you that you'll overlook in yourself. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. I think that's incredible. But, okay, so now you're this dating coach, right? Now other people have noticed you are dating.
Yep.
and becoming an expert on that, and life is going swimmingly, and then, right again.
Well, so right before I made the leap to being a dating and relationship coach, I had gotten married. So I did get married in there. I met a guy, not through my 35 dates, but he was a. I met him through someone who was one of my 35 dates. So that's kind of part of my blog, like you never know why you're meeting people. So I met my to-be husband, and we got married, and then I had this choice, and he said, look, you've got 3 months. Like you've got 3 months to generate at least the salary that you were generating at your law job for me to say you can just keep doing this full time, right? Like let's be honest. Like this is your window. And so I really threw myself into it, and I did. I surpassed my attorney salary within that 3 month mark, so I was allowed to continue to do this. And I was asked to tour as a panelist, and I even got nominated for they kind of have like these Oscars of dating awards called the iDate Awards, and I was nominated and a finalist for Best Dating Coach. And so that really took off. I was an expert in some news publications like The Post, and I guess columnist for other blogs. And so that just really that took off. And what was really funny was people started coming up to me saying, gosh, Rita, I'm so jealous, or I'm so envious, or whatever they would say, that you quit your job, corporate America, and now you're kind of doing your own thing, and your schedule sounds great, and you're always traveling, and you're speaking, and I could never do that, right? I don't know how you did that. Could you tell me? How can I do that? I have a hobby that I want to make a business, or I have this thing I've always thought about, and I just started telling people what I did. I mean, at first I said, let me sit down and really think about it. I had not really given thought to what I did to make it work, so I sat down, and I mapped it out, and I was talking to my coach who I had who was helping me grow my business, and we really got to the foundation of how I made it work, and I started teaching people those ways, and then people started saying, I want to do this, and they started suggesting me to their groups and organizations to come speak. And what people really liked was that I had been a dating coach and that I was doing the business coaching, and I would tell them the foundations are very similar to being a successful dater and to be a successful networker or business builder. The foundations of almost all of this are the same. And so I found that it wasn't that big of a difference to move into telling people how to start and grow their business. So I started doing that more frequently and realized that most of the people who I was surrounded by were female entrepreneurs who were amazing women doing amazing things, and I wanted to bring them all together in one place. And that's when I decided to form the Women's Business Garden. And that was going to be just a Facebook group. That was only going to be like this little side group of women entrepreneurs who I was bringing together to help them connect with each other. I'm a big believer in, you rise to success by helping others succeed. And I thought, oh, wow, all these women really need to meet each other. And the group has just grown. There are members from all over the world. And that's now my business. I've actually, Women's Business Garden LLC is my company. And we were nominated, the business was nominated as a change-making company by the United States of Women's Summit, which was convened by the White House. So that happened. And so more people started joining. And it's become kind of a bigger mission of women entrepreneurs, funding for women, really giving people resources and education and experiences to allow them to grow their business. And that's kind of how that got to be where it is. And now that's my sole focus is coaching women entrepreneurs on growing their business and then leading the Women's Business Garden in a way that allows them to connect with each other and find opportunities and education and resources to grow their business.
So, and I find this incredible because part of, and I've seen the group grow, which is just fantastic, but part of that is the ability, and I like how you and respect how you do the group, because you can join some groups, and it's all about self promotion. It's nauseating. I mean, there is nothing going on but self promotion, and you're like, why am I a part of this? Because there's no relationship building whatsoever.
Right.
And so I do like the format of your group that is not that you don't have times where you can, but that's not the basis of this group. It is really about connecting and as you say, helping each other grow, because what happens in a group is if there's all experts and nobody's helping each other. I mean, as far as you know, there's no connecting. And so the people who really are going to be able to connect and successfully do things together, maybe not in your group, won't happen if everybody's just putting a sales pitch constantly.
So I taking the garden theme, I call that weeds, right? Like I call that the blatant self. Not that there's anything wrong with self-promoting or promoting your business at all, but, you know, just that without knowing people coming in, you know, slapping up a post about your next event or without having ever talked to anybody before or anything like that, you know, I consider that in the garden pun world of leading the women's business garden, weeds, and I expressly forbid them. But at the same time, self-promotion is happening in that group all the time, just in a very natural way, which I really enjoy watching.
For people who, and because I know you're a big networker in the group and online and offline, and I'm always fascinated by this and how people deal with this, because there are people, and online world is dealing with it is a little bit different, because there are people who really, they just, it's not based on anything else, but they don't understand true networking and relationship building. They just don't, you know, whether it's their first time or they've never really done it, and then you take it online and trying to read something and not have it be so black and white, you know, because now we're doing communication skills and writing. And as an attorney, I know that that's something that you practice a lot, is that writing thing. That's where your past comes in. Good, great there. But so that's the other thing is how do you, suggest, to deal with people who are just like, let me sell you something, whether it's online and offline, and how do you turn around that conversation so that you're not offending that person, but you're letting them know that that style doesn't work?
So I get that a lot because people do come in the group, right? And some people don't read the rules of how the business or how the group runs, and so they'll put up their post. And the way that I kind of handle that is I thank them. So whether it would be in person or online, I would thank the person for wanting to contribute and wanting to get to know me, if it was me individually, or contributing and being part of the group. So acknowledging them and thanking them and saying I am really excited to learn about your business. However, you know, the way that I prefer is just to build relationships and get to know people, you know, in a little more natural way, and then that's going to let me know about what you do and how you do it. But let's take a step back and just tell me about you. Like, how did you start doing what you're doing? What made you want to be an entrepreneur, right? So I kind of take it, dial it down, and then ask a question or two that redirects it in a different way. And some people who are like, I just want to tell you about my thing, right? And then they end up like not continuing the conversation with me or leaving the group, whereas other people go, oh, okay, you know, no, let me tell you, I'm really excited about it, right? And then that just starts a natural conversation, and then they're kind of open to saying, well, at that point they'll usually go, Rita, if my post wasn't correct in the group, how can I, you know, post a post that's correct? And then they're open to listening to me, you know, kind of guide them through the best ways to talk about their business, to build relationships first. And the one thing I always tell people when I'm giving advice on that, when people have asked me explicitly, like, help me network better, is make it about the other person. Don't make it about you, because there's this law of reciprocity, which is one of these kind of woo-woo universal laws out there, right? But the idea is when you give people something, they want to give it back. And so if you ask people about them and about their business and what got them into business and what they do, people through the law of reciprocity will want to ask the same of you, and it will be them soliciting it and them asking you. And so you don't have to then feel salesy or pushy about it. You can just interact with a person and get to know about a person, and in turn they'll want to learn about you. And so that's kind of what I do when people kind of act that in your face kind of say hard sales promos almost spam type of way, is I will dial it back to make it about them, not their products. So I'll ask questions about them personally, which kind of brings it down a level that allows us to connect a little more.
Well, and you bring up a good point, because when I was in another group, my coach has a group, and here is a question that came up, and so and I'd like to hear your answer about this. So this woman that happens to be my client for another reason, she's, you know, she doesn't like the whole follow to follow you back thing, and she doesn't understand it, and why would you do it? Because then she's gets upset because all the, you know, if you don't play that game, then people don't stay. They don't stay in your group. They don't stay in your Twitter account. They don't. And so, and then that, you know, her question just went on to a whole bunch of people commenting is like, yeah, I get upset when people leave the group. Am I doing something wrong? So that's the, my, because, and I'm like, no, because you don't want to sell to those people. But I would love to get your feedback on that, because I think that's another thing that happens is that we got to realize that everybody's not, doesn't need something from us, and that's okay, that you really
want. Yeah,
that's
totally fine, right? Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I don't do the follow to follow back in my group. I mean, I know what you're about, right? Like, everybody, you know, follow my page, I'll follow yours, follow my – I don't think that that's beneficial or helpful for business owners. I think that business owners really need to be connected to their target market and to their ideal clients. You know, I say it's better to have a smaller audience of highly targeted, highly vetted people who are interested in your services and products and what you have to offer than it is to have a big list of people who aren't even in your potential audience, right? I would not follow a coach for mom entrepreneurs because I'm not a mother, right? Like, not that I wouldn't get nuggets from them, but I'm not going to be taking away what they want me to take away, and I'm not going to be their biggest cheerleader and advocate, and I'm not going to be their best client to buy their products or to buy their services. So, and likewise, I'm not going to be the best fit for everyone out there as a business coach, and the Women's Business Garden might not even be the right space for everybody. So I'm not a big fan of the follow me and I'll follow you, tweet me and I'll tweet, you know, I'll follow you on Twitter, I'll follow you. Instead, I just say really connect with the people that you want to connect to, not because you're getting something back, but because it's something that you want to do. You have an end game or an end goal or a reason. It's an influencer for you, or it's just someone that lights you up and motivates you, or you feel good, you know, following that person and talking about that person. You know, be the kind of person that you kind of want to meet out in the world, and the people you want to meet are going to be people who are also genuinely interested in what you have to offer and are good potential clients or partners or collaborators or cheerleaders for you, and that's not going to come from that kind of climate of follows for follows and likes for likes, and to be okay with the fact that you aren't for everyone and you don't want to be for everyone. Because honestly, like we were talking about this in the Women's Business Garden group the other day, if everyone likes you and everyone wants to follow you and you're not standing for anything. There's nothing that's differentiating you or your message or your product or your service from anyone, because you can't be everything to everyone. You eventually have to take a stand. You have to have an opinion. You have to have a thought. You have to do something that differentiates your brand and who you are. And the minute you do that, you're going to alienate people who don't agree with that. And so you want to not surround yourself with the people who don't agree with your message or with what you're doing, because that creates a space for more people who do believe in you and your products and services to find you. So I don't want to be followed by everyone, and I don't want to be liked by everyone, because that means I am making my message clear and I'm going to be followed by those who really support me.
And I can't agree more. And not only can I not agree more, I think that what happens is because I will still get an occasional client who are like, yeah, I bought all these followers because I was trying to do A, B, and C. And I'm like, that's great. But the problem with that is that then when you actually need somebody to buy your service or pay attention to your message, nothing's happening. So you could go to, yeah, most of the times it's with people who are trying to get on TV. They think buying followers is going to get them on TV cover.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dear God, no. No. All it does is have a lot of followers. And the other thing is that what most people know is that they buy all these followers, and by the time a year rolls by or whatever, they all have a shelf life, and then you have to do it all over again. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you
that
in the, because you didn't read that in the fine print. And I'm always like, oh, that's not a good idea. Because then they're like, we lost 10,000 followers. I'm like, I know.
I would rather have 10. I would rather have 10 genuine followers and 10,000 names that don't even read anything I post or
exactly.
Go and do anything. You know, I would rather have 10, because you're going to get more from those 10 people connecting with you, building a relationship with you, and then talking about you out in the world than you will from, you know, 10,000 likes. So, yeah, I'm not a – and I think that people – some people are starting to realize that. Like that whole – especially with Facebook changing the way that they work and other social media sites following, the people are having to change how they connect with people. The websites are going to promoting more relationship-based interactions and communications, and I think that's going to be really helpful.
I think it's fantastic. I think the idea of, I mean, not that it's free to advertise, but I think the idea that you're going to buy A and it just doesn't do anything. But I don't want to run out of time because I know you have a special offer for our folks who are listening.
Yeah, so
love to hear about that.
So, I was doing one of these things where I looked at the calendar. I like to run challenges. So I like to run challenges in my group that kind of challenge people to do in business what I did a little bit in my dating life, right? Get outside of the comfort zone and have to, you know, take some action and do some things and discover and then produce and have big results in their business. Well, I do these little free five-day challenges or whatever. But we're at the end of the year, and there are 100 days coming up. As of September 23rd, it's 100 days till the end of the year. So 265 days, whoop, gone, right? But so they don't even matter anymore. All that matters is, like, these 100 days. Well, I got together with a woman named Catherine Hedden, who is a coach, and she is the owner of a company called Films About Me, and she's won lots of Emmys for her video work, and she's amazing, and she's a great coach for entrepreneurs. And we started talking, and before we knew it, we had crafted not a 100-day challenge, but truly a 100-day group coaching program for women business owners, entrepreneurs, and freelancers who want to dig into their business and take massive action, like in a very high intense type of environment, to have some results. Like, it's not huge actions; it's a lot, but it's a lot of tiny actions that are going to lead to big results. So we created this program, and then we decided to do it for free. And so we're like, you know what? We just want everybody. We want everybody to have this. Like, you know, we don't even want to sell this. Like, not this year, at least. We just want people to join it and try it. We were so excited about it. So it's called the 100 Days to Bloom Challenge, and it's free for any female freelancer, entrepreneur, business owner who wants to join. And the idea, again, is I'm a big advocate on that community, and so connecting people in this community of other strong women entrepreneurs while learning from two coaches. You're going to have accountability partners. You're going to have weekly lessons. You're going to have practices that are geared to make you take immediate action so you can really realize results by the end of the year. And so I'd like to offer that to your listeners because it is free, and I really want as many people to take advantage of it as possible.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. I'm going to probably join that myself. I could use it this time of year. So I'm very excited about that. That is awesome. How does everybody find you?
So if you go to womensbusinessgarden.leadpages.co, so now they take the M off for some reason. So womensbusinessgarden.leadpages.co/100days to bloom, that's where the registration page is for it. Or, and 100 is the number, so 100 days to bloom. Or you can just go to the Women's Business Garden group on Facebook, so just search Women's Business Garden, and once you get added to that group, which is also a free community, then you'll see posts that have the link to the registration page. So you don't have to be a member of Women's Business Garden to participate. You can go directly to womensbusinessgarden.leadpages.co/100days to bloom, or you can join Women's Business Garden, and then you'll see the link in the group. But those are going to be the best ways.
I want to thank you. We are almost out of time. So I ask one, like, ending question for everybody, and then we'll if you could describe, especially you, because you've had such a great journey of awesome careers, but if you could describe your journey of your career to this point in one word, what would it be?
Oh, wow. In one word.
In one word.
Unexpected. Unexpected is what I would have
Love
to
it.
Say. Yeah.
That is phenomenal. I am so happy you came on the show with me today. Thank you so much, Rita. Of course, I will see you in your business garden. I think that everybody should join that. I think it's a great place to network with other women in businesses and to help grow. And I encourage you to do, because a lot of people do get into the end of the year panic. So I encourage you to to try her 100-day challenge too. I think that's not a challenge, but a 100-day workshop, and I think that that's phenomenal. Next week on the show, we are going to have Susan Burns, and I'm so excited to have her. She's a local from Louisville. But until then, have a great week. Thank you again, Rita. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was fun. Thank you.
Until next week. Bye-bye.